The U.S. and China are threatening each other over trade again. From Marketplace in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore in for David Brancaccio. The president this morning tweeted that tariffs have put the U.S. in a very strong bargaining position. He also said, among other things, that cost increases have thus far been almost unnoticeable. So a lot to unpack there. We also have fresh threats of retaliation from China. Julia Coronado is founder of Macro Policy Perspectives and joins us. Good morning, Julia.
Good morning.
We might well hear this week that the president will implement tariffs on $200 billion worth of Chinese goods. We also heard a former Chinese finance minister say that China could retaliate by disrupting U.S. company supply chains by just not exporting certain goods. That sounds like an escalation.
That has been sort of lurking on the sidelines for a while. The idea that because China doesn't import a lot of goods from the United States does not necessarily give the U.S. the upper hand. Lots of global trade is about supply chains, and there is plenty of scope for China to make the lives of multinational companies and the flow of goods around the world much more difficult.
What about the claim that we have not yet seen consumer prices rise because of tariffs?
Well, we have seen consumer prices rise on some of the goods that have been affected. We've seen car prices rise. Sort of unexpectedly, we've seen washing machine prices rise. So the question will be, how much will companies pass on those price increases to consumers, and how much will they absorb in their profit margins? Either way, it will be a hit to the U.S. economy.
Julia Coronado, founder of Macro Policy Perspectives, thanks as always.
My pleasure.
Starting in November, LA's public transit agency will be the first to start using body scanner technology. It'll screen thousands of passengers at once for explosive devices at subway stations. The TSA wants other cities to consider body scanning technology, but some cybersecurity experts say this is all just security theater. Marketplace's Renata Sago has more from LA's Union Station.
The morning rush may have slowed to a trickle, but two police officers are still surveying the commuters on the escalator down to the Red Line train. First with their eyes, then through a laptop screen, on a large black box, on wheels. This mobile unit can detect explosives, assault weapons, and suicide vests.
We can push it around, go up elevators. We wanted this to be obvious.
Susan Walker's head of physical security for the L.A. Metropolitan Transportation Authority. She explains as travelers approach the mobile unit, they appear on its screen as energy waves. If they come up as a green blob, they're safe. And if a black blotch appears on them, they may be a threat. L.A. Metro's bought four of these units at about $100,000 apiece.
We are out here trying to show the people that we are trying to keep them safe in our system.
The Transportation Security Administration says it's spent about $2 million so far to test this technology out at some of the nation's biggest transportation hubs. Robert Pryor with the agency says airports had been the focus in the past. Now it's bus and train terminals with multiple entries.
Until about two or three years ago, the technologies had not matured. They weren't effective. They were too expensive.
He says Chicago, New York, Atlanta, and San Francisco have either used the technology as a pilot or expressed some interest in it. Cybersecurity expert Bruce Schneier says many cities may be interested in these units, but
focusing on this very specific threat is a bad use of money.
That's because, he says, the units only create the impression that security exists.
At best, they make any would-be terrorist make some minor changes in their plans.
He says the TSA and Metropolitan Agency should invest money into investigation, intelligence, and emergency response. Meanwhile, the TSA expects to continue to roll out its scanner technology, one mobile unit at a time. I'm Renata Sago for Marketplace.
Hi, I'm Zach, and I listen to Marketplace in Arlington, Virginia. I think what I appreciate the most about Marketplace is their ability to take the economic news of the day, issues such as tariffs, rate hikes, and tax reform, cut through the political noise, and clearly and concisely explain not only how these issues affect our country and the rest of the world, but how they impact people like me. I hope you'll consider joining me as a Marketplace investor and donate today at marketplace.org to help make their work possible.
So, who's planning a big Emmy party tonight? Just kidding, people don't do that. Or at least, not enough people. In fact, the Emmys has been the least watched of the awards shows over the past few years, and there's pressure on NBC to change that. Marketplace's Andy Euler has more.
So what happens now?
Something extraordinary.
Maybe. But will millions of Game of Thrones fans who recognize those voices even tune in to the Emmys? The TV Academy and the big four networks, ABC, CBS, NBC, and Fox, just signed an 8-year contract extension for rotating rights to broadcast the Emmy Awards. Baked into the contract is a ratings clause. The networks will only pay more each year to air the shows if more people watch. Michael O'Connell at The Hollywood Reporter.
It's just so odd that television is now the most popular medium, and yet the awards for television are the least watched.
HBO, Netflix, and Amazon produce many of the shows up for Emmys. But Erica Gruen, a consultant with Quantum Media and the former CEO of Food Network, says the award shows air on the networks.
There's a mismatch between people that watch this show, who are, let's face it, older. They're going to see shows featured that they have absolutely no idea what these shows are.
But HBO, Netflix, and Amazon don't need you to actually watch the shows to make any money, like NBC does. All they want is to make sure you don't cancel your subscription. I'm Andy Euler for Marketplace.
And in New York, I'm Sabri Benishore with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.